Amen. So open your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I've been preaching a series on parables, and wow, what stuff has come out of these parables. Luke chapter 18, if you have it in your Bible, say amen. Amen. If you have it on your iPhone, say amen. I used to, you know, several years ago, I'd see my daughters on their phone during service, and I'd be like, one time I was like, hey, you should be listening and not on your phone. And they were like, Dad, we were following you in the scripture. And I'm like, so I don't criticize anybody on their phone now. Amen. I'm assuming you're deep into the word. Luke chapter 18, let's begin with verse 1, which isn't on the screens, but I want to begin with this verse because it sets the tone, it sets us on the rails of what we're talking about. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to faint or not to lose heart. And he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Now drop down to verse 9. And also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Can we say amen? This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's what it's commonly called, the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector. And so in looking at this, I want to deal with prayer because I think we can learn some things about prayer through looking at this parable and the surrounding parables with it, okay? And how many of us have thought, are my prayers really being effective? Is my prayer going beyond the ceiling? Or is my heart in the right position or condition for God to hear me? And I imagine that's the same things that the tax collector was asking. You know, from his demeanor, his position, it seemed like he knew that something was not right here, or that he wasn't where he should be, or he was afraid to go into the crowd with the others. You know, something's going on. I'm thinking he's asking some questions that are just like what you and I ask. So there's two main figures in this parable. First is the Pharisee. Second is the tax collector. So let's deal with the last one first. The tax collector, in King James it says it was a publican, but that's actually not correct. Publicanus in Latin means publican, and publican was the one who would be the chief of the tax collectors, who went to the Roman government and offered a bid to be able to collect taxes. The term in Greek is telones. And telones was one of these guys who would go out and gather taxes under the publican who had captured the bid from the Roman government. And so these guys would be Jews, mainly the tax collectors, and they would go out and gather from people what was expected of the publican, of the chief tax collectors. And then sometimes they abused their authority. Sometimes they went a little far and took more than was required, or they kind of had their way with people. And so they became arguably the most hated individuals in ancient Palestinian society. Arguably the most hated individuals. I mean, often in Scripture, the tax collectors are counted with another group, and do you know what they were called? Sinners. And the tax collectors and sinners, okay? They were considered so low. Even Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? I mean, the lowest of the low in society, they even can love those who love them. So they were not well liked. The second character here is a Pharisee, coming from the Hebrew pharesh, which means to separate. They were the original Hasidim, the people who were separated, who would live a strict Jewish life according to the Old Testament law. That's who they were, the Pharisees. And when you and I hear the term Pharisee now, we often think of it as a hypocrite, right? But that's not the way they were considered in the first century. In fact, in the first century, they were highly respected. Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, said that the Pharisees were the model of how to live the Jewish lifestyle. They were experts in the law. They were local heroes, so to speak. So the Pharisees were beloved. So check it out. You have a guy who's a tax collector who is hated, and a guy who is a Pharisee who was loved. These two go to the temple, Jesus says. And they go to the temple, and the Pharisee walks up brazenly, boldly into the courts, approaching the holy place, and he prays, "God, I thank you that I'm so awesome." No. Really, what he said is, "God, I thank you I'm not like the other people," which is really saying, "I'm so awesome," once I think about it. "And God, I thank you that I keep all of the rules as they should be kept." And notice the things he said he did were actually good things. They were actually the things Jesus commanded us or assumed we would do in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. He said, "When you pray, when you fast, and when you give alms." So those praying, fasting, giving alms are supposed to be part of a believer's life. So Jesus didn't condemn these things. This guy was just saying, "I do that." But he was saying it in a way that he was trusting in his own goodness, in his own righteousness, that he was the man. Here you have this poor tax collector. He comes up and he won't even come close, but he stands afar off. He won't lift up his head fully because of his brokenness. And instead of praying, "Lord, I thank you I'm not like these other heathens, and I thank you, God, I do all these good works." Instead of that kind of prayer, he comes up and says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He recognizes the brokenness of his heart. Amen? And so I see three basic things in this whole area of Scripture that teach us about prayer. The first is, we find from the beginning of chapter 18, when Jesus said men ought to always pray and not to lose heart, it teaches me that God wants us to pray. Come on, say it with me. God wants me to pray. God wants us to pray. If you notice the context in Luke chapter 17, there was a Pharisee who came to Jesus. A Pharisee came to him, and a Pharisee asked in verse 20, the Pharisee asked when the kingdom of God would come. And it started this whole unleashing of teaching by Jesus. So this Pharisee says, "So, Master, when's the kingdom really going to come?" And Jesus responds and says, "Not when you think so, bud." That's my interpretation. "And not how you think so." He said, "You're looking for signs? Here's going to be your sign. Life's going to be going along as usual. People will be marrying, giving in marriage, and so as it was in the days of Noah." What was about the days of Noah? People were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It's what people have always done. But then, boom, thunderstorm struck, and rain started pouring out, and a massive flood came that was totally unexpected. This is Jesus' point in his teaching on his coming here. He's saying life's going to be going along as usual, and then suddenly the Son of Man will come. So the deal is, Mr. Pharisee, you're trying to figure this out. It's unfigurable, if that's a word. You can't figure this out because it's happening suddenly. Okay? Then the next thing he says is, you know what? Men ought to always pray and faint not, or not lose heart. Why? Because the kingdom's coming, and it's going to be a suddenly, and because of that, Jesus is saying we should continue to pray and not faint or not lose heart. So God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. And I don't think this is that issue. You know, I think sometimes we've gotten off the rails in interpreting this. How do we pray always? Like Paul said, you know, pray without ceasing. Or is it like we're supposed to be praying 24/7? We're supposed to be... I don't think that's the point at all here. I think the point is, in light of the coming kingdom, don't give up hope, but keep praying. In light of the coming of the Son of Man, don't give up hope, but keep praying. Okay, so what's that mean? It means we're living in 2019, and Jesus hasn't come yet. You know what? Keep praying, because He is coming again. But Pastor Hans, I've prayed for my family for 30 years, and they're just as rotten as they ever were. Keep praying and don't lose heart, because your prayers aren't just a hope-so, a wish-so thing, but your prayers stand as memorials before God in heaven. And He knows every request you've made, and He honors every request you've made. And you pray in faith, God responds. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, keep on praying. Keep on praying. God is coming. Keep on praying. Prayer makes a difference. Come on, prayer makes a difference. I told a story this morning of Jackie. Jackie has a really, really good friend that she was friends with before we got married. And so this friend she's called through the years, and they pray for each other. And they're both Appalachian hillbillies, so when they get on the phone, it gets up to about 8,000 RPMs in their prayers. And it's screaming and shouting and prophesying. Well, last October, Jackie and I were traveling somewhere, and she had her friend on the phone. And she just says, pray for Hans. And they never tell each other what the prayer request is, because they're afraid it's going to mess up the prophetic coming forth. So don't you love those? Pray for me. What about? Just let the Lord tell you. Well, that's the way they flow, okay? So she gets on the phone. She says, Hans, and she prophesies something that she knew nothing about what was getting ready to transpire in my life that day. Blew me out the window. Then she says, and Hans, the Lord's touching your ear. Okay, I hadn't told a lot of people, but I suffered with like a ringing in my ears for about 3 years. And I just assumed it was all the loud guitars I've played for 30 plus years. 40 almost. I thought it's just all that and loud revival church. It just blew my hearing out. But she prayed, and guess what? Boom, it left. I mean, I'd been dealing with that for 3, maybe more years. At night it was so bad I couldn't go to sleep in silence, because I said, turn something on, because it's driving me crazy. The phone's ringing and nobody's picking it up. But man, when she said that, it was like, boom, it's gone from my life. I remember another time that I was in seminary, graduate school, and Jackie was praying with her friend on the phone, and we had just found out that we were going to have a baby, that Sarah was, coming out. Not right then, but we'd found out Jackie was pregnant. And it was kind of unexpected, but I don't know if you can kind of unexpect things. I don't know, but I don't even remember how all that worked, but it doesn't matter. But nonetheless, I really felt bad, because my best friend in school, he and his wife had been trying for 5 years to have a baby, and they couldn't. And so when Jackie got pregnant, I thought, oh no, man. I hate to even tell my friend. I don't want him to be like hurt or something. But I did tell him. I said, hey, Jackie's pregnant. He was like, Hans, yes, I love it, man. He rejoiced with me. Nonetheless, Jackie's talking to her friend on the phone. They're praying. They're in the Holy Ghost. Knock comes at the door. It's my friend's wife. She walks in our little apartment in Virginia Beach. And as soon as she walks in, Jackie's friend on the phone says, who is that lady that just entered the house? Jackie said, "What's my friend?" She said, "Tell her I see a holy seed in her. I see a whole." You know what happened? 5 days after Sarah was born, they had a little girl. Hallelujah. After 5 years. Okay, why am I saying this? God answers prayer. And God has people like you full of the Holy Ghost, full of gifts, and God wants us to exercise those gifts. My God, the earth is yearning for you to pray in the Holy Ghost and to pray in faith. Jesus said, "You've asked nothing beforehand in my name, but now ask anything you will in my name, and it will be done." Hallelujah. "If any two of you touch us agreeing on anything, it'll be accomplished by my Father." Glory to God. Just link up in prayer with somebody else that has faith and start believing and watch God show up and do things that cannot be done in the natural. He said, "I'll shake heaven and earth. I'll move things out of the way. The mountains will become up." My God, I feel like preaching right now. Mountains will become a molehill. Come on, I'll raise up things. I'll provide for you in ways that you never knew it was coming or even believed it could come. I'll open doors for you that no man could open. I'll close doors that no man could close. Hallelujah. I am the Lord God Almighty. I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You approach the throne of grace boldly and make your prayers and requests known. Come on, give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's waiting on us. Come on, he's waiting on us to pray. We have the authority. A saint of God praying has more authority than the greatest armies in the world. I'm going to say that again. Three got it. A saint of God praying has more authority than all the armies of the world. Why? Because the armies are operating the natural, but the prayer warrior operates in the supernatural. You know, a lot of people ask me about the Fountain of Life Church and why, how has all this happened and people been saved and the success of the church and all that. You know, one thing that we can't discount are the years of saints of God praying and bombarding heaven. And Pastor and Sister Mayo coming in here every Friday and praying and believing God. And others of you praying and believing God that He's going to do something even when we didn't see it. Come on, punch your neighbor and say, "Pray on, man. Pray on." You know, I hope that your life has changed by coming to Fountain of Life, but I hope this is one of the changes that happens in your life. I hope that if tragedy struck before and you just fell to pieces, I hope now if tragedy comes your way, you meet it like a lion and you say, "I'm going to pray and not..." My God. You meet it and you say, "In the name of Jesus, thus far, no more. You get out of here, devil." Come on. I heard this story recently of this lady. Well, it was back a few years ago. This lady who was called one day. She was a deliverance minister and she was called one day. And I've told you this story, but it's worth telling again. And someone called her and said, "Will you pray for a bride of Satan? A girl who's been raised to be a bride of Satan from her whole life in a satanic cult." And the lady said, "Yeah, I'll pray for her." So the lady said, "I got my prayer team together. We were in a house waiting on this girl to arrive." And she said, "When she came into the neighborhood, I felt the presence of evil. And the girl walked in and the doors blew open with no one touching them. And this girl walked in." I don't know what you would do. But I'd think, is this Poltergeist or is this like Salem's Lot? But anyhow, the doors blew open. This bride of Satan walked in. You know what this lady said she did? She said, "I stood up and walked right up in her face and said, 'Not today, Satan. Not today.'" She said in just a few minutes, we were praying for her, cast spirits out of her. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Had to be carried to the car because she was so drunk in the spirit. Come on, I'm telling you, you pray and faint not. Pray, don't lose heart. God is hearing. You have more authority in you than you realize. Don't you know Satan hates us? Guess what? I hate him. Well, Brother Hans, you're not supposed to use such a term as hate. Well, Paul did. He said we to hate sin. And I hate the father of sin. Come on. You know the devil hates Fountain of Life Church? The devil, you know what? It's a sign to him. Us being here this morning, this crowd you gathered here, this church sitting on this Highway 17, a billboard that says Jesus changes everything. Come on, a church now down in Edenton that we're resurrecting, glory to God. You know what? It's a sign to the devil that not today, Satan, thus far and no more. No more drug addicts overdosing on our watch. No more kids going to hell on our watch. Hallelujah. No more defeated churches on our watch. Hallelujah. No more churches broken in legalism and backbiting, but set free by the power of God and free in the Holy Ghost. Come on, shout it out. No more, Satan. Woo! Hallelujah. God has given us the power to pray. Pray and faint not. Pray and cease not. Jesus is coming. Oh, Lord. All right. I could stay there all day. Second thing I see happening here is after Jesus said, pray and don't lose heart, he gave another parable. But this parable was about an unjust judge and a persistent widow. And the whole point of it is God wants to answer prayer. Because listen to the parable. Jesus said there was an unjust judge. He's wicked. And there's this widow who came to him and she had a request that she wanted met. And the unjust judge is like, no way, get away from me. And that lady came back. This is my cat at night and in the mornings, by the way. You know what we do? We get so sick and tired, like, let him in! Feed the cat! That's why he's so fat now. He's persistent. And you know what Jesus said? The judge said in so many words, this lady's going to drive me crazy. Give her what she wants. Come on, she's going to drive us up the wall. Give the lady what she wants. Jesus said, and would not for a while, but after a while he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Two messages here. First is pray and don't stop. Persistence. We're to pray and we're not to quit praying. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Keep on pounding till the door comes down. We're not to pray once and say, well, it must not have been God's will. No, you find the will of the Lord in His Word. And then once you've found the will of the Lord, never stop, never back down, never quit until the answer comes. Never, 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 say it with me, never, never, never find the will of the Lord, stand on it and pray until the answer comes. But another message is communicated here, and that is if this judge is evil and after some badgering, he will even give a request, how much more will God, who is ultimately righteous and holy, give to us? Okay, one more time. If that judge was that evil and would still give in, how much more will God, who loves us infinitely beyond what we can comprehend, How much more is He waiting at the edge of heaven's gates just to send the resources of heaven to answer our request? Come on, say it with me. God wants to answer prayer. The great expositor Martin Lloyd Jones said, I must get rid of this thought that God is standing between me and my desires and that which is best for me. I must see God as my Father who has purchased my ultimate good in Christ and is waiting to bless me with His own fullness in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness. It's laying hold of what God wants in our lives. On the way back from Montana last week, I listened to a podcast on healing. And this guy had been, Jackie and I went to Spokane, Washington, by the way, which was where John G. Lake had his healing rooms. And they say it's documented that 100,000 people were healed in Spokane, Washington. So I just wanted to drive through the city. Maybe some of that will rub off on me. Maybe there's some residue there in my... Hey, hallelujah. I just thought about that, Jackie. I receive it. Feel better already. Podcast. I was listening to a podcast about a guy who had studied the works of John G. Lake. And he said, we learned a couple things about healing. Number one, we learned never back off and question whether or not it's God's will. Because once you get into that, you're done. But say, this is the will of the Lord, and I'm pressing in with everything I have, and I'm not stopping. Number two, he said, we learn to command instead of pray all the time. Command things in Jesus' name. So that's another sermon for another Sunday. I just wanted to bless you with that. So what's the final thing here? This is what I see, and I think this is the thrust of the whole issue about prayer. And that is, God is looking for humble hearts. Because what the tax collector possessed was the correct attitude in prayer. When he went before God, it wasn't about his greatness and his great works and all that he had done for the Lord. And even there's an issue here where he thanks God that he is privileged to be born into a blessed deal instead of all these other dregs and heathens around him. And you know what? He's close to the holy place, yet his heart's far away. Yet the tax collector stands off far from the holy place, yet his heart's closer to God. Why? Because he realizes his brokenness. And he realizes his poverty of spirit. And he comes before the Lord and only asks for mercy. He had the right heart. He was properly positioned before God. Even David said, Lord, I would give you sacrifices, but that's not what you want. You want a contrite and humble spirit. You want a brokenness. I'm telling you, if you're broken before the Lord, He can do anything in you. If you're proud, haughty, self-righteous, self-confident, it's hard for the Lord to do anything in your life. Why? Because you got it all figured out. Just let us in on your greatness every now and then. But if you're broken, God runs to the broken. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Okay, now we got a few minutes left here, so hang with me. I'm going to show you what happens. In chapter 17 and chapters 18, there, and even into chapter 19, the whole episode is bookended by two geographical progressions. Number one, in chapter 17, it says Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem for his final week. In chapter 19, it says, and he continued to Jerusalem. So in between him determining to go to Jerusalem and continuing to Jerusalem, all of these things were happening. And it was really tipped off by the question of a Pharisee. That a Pharisee came to him and asked him about the end. When's the kingdom coming? And it was a Pharisee that he was talking to when he said these things. Hello. Also, it said he came and 10 lepers came to him. They all were healed. Only one returned. And who was the one? A Samaritan. Another group that the Jews hated. After the passage on the tax collector and Pharisee, says little children came up to him. Jesus said, don't forbid the little children. This is what the kingdom's about. You must become as a child to enter into the kingdom. So we have a tax collector who gets it, and we have little children who get it. The next thing is a rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And if you know the story of the rich young ruler, he didn't get it. His wealth, his pride, all of that stood in the way of the kingdom. Next, blind Bartimaeus, who's another outsider in society, living on the margins of society, begging for his living, hears that Jesus is passing by and cries out, listen, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He understood who Jesus was and he begged for mercy just like the tax collector. And then the bomb, I'm talking the climax of it all, happens, in my opinion, in chapter 19 when Jesus is walking by and there's a man up in a tree who sees him. And the man's name is Zacchaeus. Now, what do you remember from growing up in church, if you grew up in church, about Zacchaeus? Wee little man. If you went to Sunday school when you were younger, maybe you learned that Zacchaeus was a wee little man and he couldn't see Jesus, so what did he do? He climbed up in a tree. But you know what this text says about Zacchaeus? He was rich. Now, wait. The rich young ruler, Jesus just said the rich couldn't enter the kingdom. It said it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. But this man's rich. Number two, he is a publican. He's not just a tax collector. Luke says he's the chief tax collector. Hello. It means he is the fat cat. He is the guy employing these other tax collectors. If anybody is hated, it's Zacchaeus. If anyone is hated, it's Zacchaeus. He's wealthy, and he's the publican. So what happens? Jesus said, hey man, come down because I'm going to your house today. And the religious people had a heart attack. They could, what? He's going to his, give me a break. He's going to his house. Listen, we're already offended enough that the Pharisee in his story didn't get heard by God. Now you're adding injury to insult and you're going to the home of the chief fat cat publican tax collector. Oh gosh, I love this so much I could run around this church. And outside. And down 17. 19, verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Number 1. 7, but when they saw it, who's the they? They, the religious people. They all complained, saying, he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus shows he has the right heart above all these religious guys. Verse 8 says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And guess what Jesus says? Jesus says, today salvation has come to your house. You just got it. You just figured it out. You just won the spiritual lottery. Why? Because your heart was right. You see, what God is wanting is the proper heart. And what we saw was not just a proper heart in prayer, but also a proper heart that's going to live the life of prayer. Who's going to walk away from prayer and do the right things? See, sometimes I'm concerned, even in Fountain of Life Church, the first way to God is through praying a prayer, confession, and repentance. But then after that, what you must do then is walk out repentance. Amen. Repentance in the actual Greek means I'm turning around and I'm walking the other way. It means I'm going this way in sin and living life according to my own desires and dictates, and then boom, I meet Jesus. I confess Him as Lord. I repent of wrongdoing, and then I turn around and I walk the other way. That's the proper heart in prayer. The right heart in prayer is not to come before God and say, God, if you just get me out of this trouble, Lord, I'll do anything for you, God, and you bless me. Then you get out of that trouble and you say, church, you're like Medea. In one of her movies, which I don't recommend, but in one of her movies, she said, Lord, if you get me out of jail, I'll go by the church. So as they're driving home, her family asked her, hey, you going to go by the church? She said, I just went by the church. We passed it on the way home. Some of y'all have that kind of faith. God, get me out of trouble, but I'm not going to live right. But the right heart is, God, get me out of trouble, and forever I will live the life of repentance and a life that you want me to live. I'm not perfect, but I'm walking that way. I stop and repent. I stop and confess my sins. I call on an advocate I have with the Father named Jesus Christ the righteous who forgives me of all sin. And I get back up and I keep walking. I live a life of repentance. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Come on, say it with me. Lord, give me the right heart. Come on, Lord, give me the right heart. The right heart doesn't carry offense. Last night I was listening to a great evangelist that I really love, and he said, he's from the city of Pittsburgh. And he said, in the city of Pittsburgh, when you come out of the airport, there are these signs for this beer company and this beer company. And he said, you know what? I don't want my city to be known as that. So he said, I put a sign up of me and my wife saying, this is a city of revival. Because I want it to be known, not for the bad stuff, but that God is living here and there's some people turning this thing around. So he said, I went to my home church on Sunday. And my pastor got up and preached. And just spur of the moment, he said, you know what? We don't need people. Preachers putting their pictures on billboards. God doesn't have to have that. He's big enough without that or something. And the evangelist I know, he said, you know, I thought, okay, I could be offended at this, but I'm not going to be offended because I walk above offense. Because he said, I actually stopped and thought, he's not trashing me. He's making a point that I kind of actually agree with. God's bigger than all that, and he doesn't have to have that. But he said, instead of sitting there and getting mad, he said, everybody in the church all of a sudden kind of went, because they knew what he had done. And he said, I just went like this. I stood up and went. And walked to the altar and knelt down and prayed. And he said, I had some humor out of it. And the pastor was like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean that to you, brother. I really didn't. But we take offense so much that it clouds our heart condition. Listen, that it clouds our heart, and then now we have a block between us and the Lord when we... Amen. Come on, say it with me. Come on, it's a confession day. I'm going to try my best. Say it with me. I'm going to try my best to live above offense. I'm going to laugh about things more. I'm not going to take things so seriously. Because how many of y'all had a great Holy Ghost meeting? And then Sister Sue didn't talk to you. And you lost every bit of joy and power that you just... Don't let that happen. Come on. Come on, keep your heart condition right. And that is living in a state of kind of a state, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but a state of brokenness. Not like you're not together and God isn't blessing you. I don't mean that. But in a state of humility. A state of humility. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know all that was in the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector? Let's all stand. Father, we give you thanks right now. We give you thanks right now for the teaching of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the teaching and opening our eyes to the power of prayer and the power of having a pure and humble heart. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you honor and we give you praise, Lord. Father, I pray for each person in here this morning that you minister to them, Lord, and you touch their lives, God, right where they stand. That God, you just touch them. Something that's communicated today, I just pray hit home and lit them up. And now they're thinking about it, and revelation's going to change their lives in the name of Jesus. And God, I give you praise. God, I give you praise. God, I give you praise. God, I give you praise right now. Holy Spirit, thank you for settling down in this room right now. I give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. Just between me, you, and the Lord, how many of you can lift your hand and say, I'm looking for some Zacchaeuses today. I'm looking for some Zacchaeuses out here. How many of you would be honest between you and the Lord and just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer. I'm not living what I should be, but I want to give my life to Christ today. And I want to start anew right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're in here and you want that, you want to pray with us, and you want to give it all to Him, come on, you're going to be like Zacchaeus. You're going to joyfully invite the Lord into your house today. Just raise your hand right where you are, and you can put it right back down. We're going to pray for you in Jesus' name. Maybe there's some of you also, and you can be real honest before the Lord. And I tell you what, I'm going to raise my hand on this one. But maybe you can be honest before the Lord and say, Pastor, pray for me because I've had a little bit of that Pharisee in me from time to time. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I do too, Hans, and I want prayer for that. I've had some of that Pharisee in my heart. I've judged some other people. I've been confident in my own accomplishments too much sometimes. Come on, let's all pray. Everybody praying together and praying out loud. Father in heaven, I commit my life to you, Lord Jesus. I give you my whole heart. Forgive me of all sin and wash me clean in your blood. I declare that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Today, Lord, you are Lord of my life. Come on, let's dig down a little bit deeper now and pray. Father, forgive me for being like the Pharisee sometimes. Trusting in my own righteousness instead of your mercy. God, forgive me for judging others sometimes when I shouldn't have. And God, wash me clean. Give me the heart of Zacchaeus. Give me the heart of that other tax collector, which was humble and open. In Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord. 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 We give, come on, hang on with me just for a second. We give you praise, Lord. 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 Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.